hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association Finals will come down to a decisive Game 7 Sunday night in Oakland, California. That's where the defending champion Golden State Warriors will host the Cleveland Cavaliers for the trophy. While the Warriors will be aiming for their second consecutive NBA championship, the Cavaliers are one victory away from becoming the first team in NBA Finals history to come back from a 3-1 deficit. Remember, VOA basketball fans, these same two teams met last year in the NBA Finals, with the Warriors winning 4-2. On Thursday night in Cleveland, the Cavs got another sensational all-around performance from their superstar LeBron James to even the series at 3-each. LeBron scored 41 points, passed for 11 assists, grabbed 8 rebounds, and also had 4 steals and 3 blocks. Talk to us about your performance, LeBron.
Just out there playing. Just reading, reacting. My teammates, like I said, put me in position to be successful. You know, either when I have the ball or when I don't have the ball, they're giving me the ball whenever I would like it. They're setting great screens and just trying to put pressure on the defense. You know, and I've been fortunate enough to see the ball go through the hoop the last couple games. So, you know, I feel pretty good.
Pretty good? LeBron, you should feel great. LeBron, what's your mindset ahead of Game 7 Sunday night in Oakland?
At the end of the day, this is going to be it for all of us, including you guys. One more game left, and you guys are going to give it all y'all got. We're going to give it all we got. The Warriors will do the same, and you live with the results, you know, and that's how you go about it. But we won't rush it. I won't rush it. I'm going to sleep very well tonight. I'll sleep very well the following night. Watch a couple movies and just get ready to play.
LeBron James and the Cavaliers never trailed in Game 6. They jumped out to a 13-2 lead and led by 24 at one point in the third quarter. Golden State star Stephen Curry, the league's 2-time league most valuable player, tallied a team-high 30 points. But things did not go well for Steph near the end of the game. With about 4.5 minutes remaining, he fouled out on a questionable call by referee Jason Phillips. Curry immediately began shouting at Phillips, picking up a technical foul, and then was ejected after he threw his mouthpiece into the first row of seats. At the post-game news conference, Steph had this to say.
The last two fouls I had, I thought were... I didn't think I fouled either Kyrie or LeBron. That's just kind of my perception of the plays, and I had a reaction to it. You know, it's obviously frustrating fouling out in the fourth quarter of a clinching game and not being out there with my teammates, so it got the best of me, but you know, I'll be all right for next game.
Meanwhile, Steph Curry's head coach, Steve Kerr, came to the defense of his star guard.
He had every right to be upset. You know, he's the MVP of the league. He gets 6 fouls called on him. 3 of them were absolutely ridiculous. You know, he steals the ball from Kyrie clean at one point. LeBron flops on the last one. Jason Phillips falls for that for a flop. This is the MVP of the league. We're talking about these touch fouls in the NBA Finals. Let me be clear. We did not lose because of the officiating. They totally outplayed us, and Cleveland deserved to win. But 3 of the 6 fouls were incredibly inappropriate calls. for anybody, much less the MVP of the league.
Joining us now here in Studio 22 is VOA Sports reporter Tadi Abeje, who is closely following the NBA Finals. Sporty greetings, Tadi.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Tadi, we just heard Warriors coach Steve Kerr describe three of the fouls called against Steph Curry as ridiculous and incredibly inappropriate. Do you agree with Coach Kerr's assessment?
I do agree with Coach Kerr's assessment because he got six fouls and the referees were not treating him fairly, especially on three of those questionable calls about when he stole the ball from Kyrie Irving. They called a foul, which was not a foul. And then when he tried to steal the ball from LeBron and LeBron flopped, that was obvious. That was not a good call. And yes, it was, the calls against Steph were not justified.
Now, Tadi, we heard those public criticisms of the officials by Steve Kerr and Steph Curry. Maybe you shouldn't do that in the NBA. Tell our VOA listeners why you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do that because that's against the rules. And if you do that on live television, you will be fined. You'll get a $25,000 fine like those two did.
So both Steph Curry and Kerr fined $25,000.
Yes, that is true.
Now, our VOA social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski, has the day off. But let's stick with Steph Kerr. Steph Curry, he's still trending on Twitter. At least his wife is, right,
yes,
Tadi?
Yes, his wife tweeted this. I've lost all respect. Sorry, this is absolutely rigged for money or ratings, or not sure which. I won't be silent. Just saw it live. Sorry. She did later admitted that she tweeted in the heat of the moment.
So she's saying the series is rigged?
Well, she didn't mean it like that. She probably said it in the heat of the moment. They had a tough day with her father being questioned by the police, being racially profiled. So it wasn't the greatest of days for her and her family.
What was that all about, the racial profiling?
They was under investigation for something, and he was being racially profiled. So and he wasn't arrested, and so... So he wasn't arrested, and they should be fine.
Tadi, let's go back to Game 6. Tremendous, as I mentioned, tremendous all-around performance by LeBron. His second consecutive 41-point game. Do you think he'll have a letdown ahead of Game 7 now?
He better not if his team wants to win the championship. He has to score between 30 to 40 points for them to win. And he has to play like this, like he did in Game 5 and Game 6. Also, Kyrie Irving also has to play well, too. And also, the role players should, too.
Tadi, on Thursday's show, you told our VOA listeners about some of the international players in the NBA Finals. Have any really stood out, in your opinion, in this series?
Only Leandro Barbosa. He's giving them much production off the bench. He's scoring double figures in three of the six games in this series. So he's the only one that's showing up. None of the international players that I mentioned yesterday's show did not give much impact in this series.
One quick update on that international front. Andrew Bogut from Australia has a bone bruise, and I think he's pretty much said we're not going to be seeing him at the Olympics.
Oh, no, he said that's an obvious yes, that he's not going to play in the Olympics. They could use him, but he only plays like 15 minutes each. But their small lineup, they're effective when he's not on the court and when they play with their death line with Steph, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, and Harrison Barnes. But so far, it has not been showing up. They haven't been producing.
Well, I'm going to ask you to produce a prediction right now, Tadi. Big Game 7 Sunday night in Oakland, California. Will the home court advantage work for the Warriors? Who are you picking in that
game? I'm going
with
the Warriors at home because I cannot imagine a team that accomplished so much this season to lose three straight games and not win the championship would be an ultimate collapse.
Ultimate collapse. I got to go with Tadi. I'm also going to go with the Warriors. So if the Cavaliers win on Sunday night, well, I've had predictions wrong in the past,
yes,
Tadi.
Yeah. Yeah, a dead clock is twice a day, as they say.
Tadi Abeje, VOA sports reporter. Thanks for joining us, Tadi.
Thank you, Sonny.
And right now we're going to hear from a Hall of Fame basketball player who has an important message for us.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Not so sunny news for Russian athletic officials. The International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, voted unanimously Friday to maintain Russia's ban ahead of the Olympic Games in August. The decision was reached at the end of an IAAF council meeting in Vienna, Austria. The top IAAF officials ruled Russia did not meet the criteria for readmission laid down in November. However, there's still a chance that we might see Russian athletes in Rio de Janeiro in August, because next Tuesday in Lausanne, Switzerland, there will be a meeting of leaders from the International Olympic Committee. And the IOC Executive Board will consider whether and if individual athletes should be given individual justice, according to a statement. Many expect Russian athletes who have not tested positive for a banned substance to appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They are expected to argue that it's wrong to punish clean athletes for the crimes of others. So right now, though, it looks like Russian athletes will not be competing at the Rio Games in August. The Russian sports ministry said it was extremely disappointed over the decision. In a statement, it said, and I quote, "We now appeal to the members of the International Olympic Committee to not only consider the impact that our athletes' exclusion will have on the dreams and the people of Russia, but also that the Olympics themselves will be diminished by their absence." Well, it's made of plastic and looks kind of like a flying saucer. I've thrown one. VOA sports reporter Tadia Beje has thrown one. My producer this evening, Bill Werkinger, has thrown one. And I'm guessing a few of our Voice of America listeners have thrown one, too. I'm talking about the Frisbee. VOA's Adam Phillips joins us now from New York City with this fun Friday feature on the Frisbee.
It's a flying saucer that you command. Watch.
This is the way to curve a Frisbee.
This is the way to curve a Frisbee.
Catch a Frisbee. Catch a Frisbee.
That's a TV commercial from the early 1960s when Frisbees were relative newcomers and Americans were fascinated by flying saucers and all things space. At 74, Jerry Linus remembers those days well.
When I arrived in New York in 1965, it was popular, but only as a toy for children or as a device for the long-haired people, the counterculture. And I found myself magnetized, attracted to a group in Central Park who were addicted to the pleasure of just throwing and flowing. When you throw the thing, you feel like you're flying. It kind of carries you with it, like a spaceship or a flying saucer. I'm in love with these things.
Linus's apartment is crammed with vintage discs, frisbee competition posters, and other memorabilia, and his own clay sculptures of frisbee players. For Linus, flying discs are all about joy, passion, artfulness, and fun.
One of the things I find most amusing is the old saying that when a ball sleeps, it dreams it's a disc. Balls just go up and down, but discs not only can fly, but they can do unusual things like fly in a curve or fly under the boughs of a tree.
Frisbees, or discs, I'm using the terms interchangeably, have inspired hugely popular team sports.
The two most popular internationally are disc golf, which is like ball golf, except that you throw the disc into baskets. And the other is a team sport called ultimate, which is very much like soccer or football.
Thousands of American high schools and universities have ultimate leagues, and the game is poised to become an Olympic sport. Let's listen in on a goal made during a recent professional match between the New York Empire and Philadelphia Phoenix teams.
Hell yeah, Ian Garin!
Jerry Linus prefers one of the many two, three, or four-player games he invented himself over the decades.
One is called Splitzo, where you throw two discs. The smaller one is inside of the larger one, and you throw them at your opponent, and they split up at the last moment, and your opponent is required to catch one in each hand. And I do something called skyscraping, where I go down to the Wall Street area, and I play to an unseen partner who's a block and a half away, and the object of the game is to touch as many buildings in one throw as possible. Three buildings is hard, but I've done it.
Today, freestyle is a highly inventive part of disc culture that combines performance with athleticism. Usually done solo or in pairs, freestylers give the disc a strong spin, then keep it spinning through all kinds of graceful, often acrobatic maneuvers. Brad Keller is a world-class freestyler and co-director of the 2016 Freestyle Frisbee World Championships, which will be held this year in Brooklyn, New York. Keller has been part of the freestyle scene in Central Park, Sheep Meadow, the birthplace of the art form, since the 1970s.
We're judged by three judges in each of three categories, which are execution, presentation, and difficulty. We throw the disc back and forth, and we spin it on our fingertips, similarly to what people do with a basketball. We use the rim to do different kinds of pullouts and pushes. We do tips. We work with it right side up or upside down. We can airbrush it where we side slap the disc into the wind, and it moves forward, and then the wind pushes it back, where we can then either slap it again or brush it, as we call it. Or we can roll it across our chest or across our back. So there are all these different types of manipulations we do that incorporate the disc into, in essence, a dance performance.
So that was a move where I threw it up vertically with a lot of spin, and I took it in what's called a rim delay, where the Frisbee's actually sort of parallel to me.
In addition to being a full-time law student, James Wiseman is a two-time World Frisbee Freestyle Champion. He is often seen practicing for hours in Sheep Meadow, which is still ground zero for disc arts and athletics in the Big Apple.
There's always new things to do and new things to try and new things to experiment with. That's something that's really special because it never gets old, and there's always something on the horizon that you're trying to figure out.
So it's a character build too, huh?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, freestyle teaches me a lot about patience and determination and different ways of thinking. And you know, it's sort of like a drug because it doesn't always happen, and you're always chasing the harder version of the same move, the harder combo, just more, more, more. You know, it has so much to offer.
Serendipity is a key part of what disc play has to offer. One basic maneuver that makes today's freestyle possible is called the nail delay. It involves balancing the spinning disc on one's fingernail as it descends in order to control its position. It was discovered, quite by accident, by legendary freestyle pioneer Kerry Colmar one sunny morning in 1974.
The wind blew up under the disc, and when I went to tap it, it just came to rest on my finger for probably no more than a second or a second and a half. Doing a nail delay takes a pretty good deal of practice, but eventually I got it down pat. And the effect that it had on the game of Frisbee, or the sport of Frisbee, is that it changed the entire realm of possibilities from, you know, two people playing and it just being a throw-catch to being a lot more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. And, you know, it definitely changed the sport for the better. And I can't claim some huge credit. I mean, it was really just sort of magical gifting that made me be the guy that came up with that.
Kerry went on to become one of the first world Frisbee freestyle champions. 40-plus years later, that honor has been won twice by the dancer and actor Daniel O'Neill. His work was also showcased by Cirque du Soleil at the opening of the 2015 Pan American Games, heard here. Together with Brad Keller, O'Neill co-directs the 2016 Frisbee World Championships. He contrasts New York freestyle with a West Coast approach, especially California's.
The New York style emphasizes consecutivity and flow. In New York, we like to put moves together in a way that there's no disruptions, awkward movements. You catch it, and maybe without even having to change the grip of the disc in your hand, you're able to throw it onto your partner. And it all happens in one fluid motion.
Smooth, elegant.
Exactly.
New York.
Yes. Now, the West Coast has very beautiful beaches. And freestyle frisbee is a great beach sport because if you have a little bit of wind, the disc will float there for you. It'll just stay put. Everything slows down. It's a little bit of a slower game. It also emphasizes flow, but it also emphasizes flight of the disc. And that is to say, brushing it, rolling it, you know, moving out into the wind.
Underneath all the competition and display, there is a spirit of inclusivity, friendliness, and fun in Frisbee culture everywhere in the world. Brad Keller says it's rooted both in the hippie ethos that flowered during the 1960s and in the physical way that high-level frisbee is played, where subtlety and finesse are as important as force. Worldwide, freestylers call themselves jamily. It's a term borrowed from jazz jams where musicians play together, each expressing themselves but in happy harmony with the others.
And we all know each other. There are different internet sort of interactions that we do, different blogs, different things that we all keep in touch with, social events, birthdays or births, whatever it is, but we're pretty close. So I can go almost anywhere in the world and I have a jamily there. And it's an incredible community that we're all really grateful to be a part of.
Counterculture Masons or something.
It is very similar to that in a way. I mean, of course, we don't have quite the history, but give us another couple thousand years, I guess, we'll be there.
Frisbee's the game of people wait.
For the sunny side of sports, this is VOA's Adam Phillips reporting in New York.
Frisbee's the way to lots of fun at the park or beach or fish.
Thanks, Adam. Your Frisbee feature has me flying high. Well, the U.S. men's national soccer team is flying high after a 2-1 victory over Ecuador Thursday night in the northwestern U.S. city of Seattle, Washington. The USA is now through to the semifinals of the Copa America Centenario tournament. Clint Dempsey, who is based in Seattle with Major League Soccer's Seattle Sounders Club, scored the opener for the Americans, and Jossie Zardes had the second goal for the Americans, who fulfilled the pre-tournament prediction of Jurgen Klinsmann to make it through to the Final Four at the Copa America. The Americans will next play the winner of Saturday's quarterfinal between Argentina and Venezuela near Boston. And that wraps up the June 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Richard Smith.
And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Americans continue to mourn the deaths of 49 victims and the wounding of dozens more in the recent terrorist attack on a nightclub in Orlando, Florida. This was the worst mass shooting in the history of the United States. In an address to the nation, President Barack Obama noted that the attack targeted a prominent LGBT gathering place and emphasized that an attack on any American, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, or sexual orientation, is an attack on all of us and on the fundamental values of equality and dignity that define us as a country. The perpetrator of the massacre died on site in a shootout with police. He declared allegiance to ISIL in a phone call during the attack, although there is no information to this point suggesting that ISIL was in contact with the shooter before the attack. It does appear the shooter was inspired by various extremist information online and points to the challenge of countering extremist ideology and dealing with the perversions of Islam generated on the Internet. In a briefing shortly before the attack, Brett McGurk, special presidential envoy for the Coalition to Counter ISIL, noted that leaders from around the world tell him that the common denominator driving youth toward extremism is this notion of an historic caliphate. In the case of ISIL, as he says, their self-proclaimed phony caliphate. Because of that, it is necessary, Mr. McGurk said, for the coalition to shrink the core of the so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria. And the coalition is having significant success in doing so. In Iraq, ISIL has lost nearly 50% of the territory it once controlled. In Syria, 20%. Many of its leaders have been killed. Its revenue has been drastically cut. Its flow of foreign fighters has been reduced. Its propaganda stream has slowed, and its morale has plummeted. President Obama noted, however, that while the coalition continues to uproot ISIL overseas, another imperative is countering the kind of propaganda and perversions of Islam espoused by ISIL and distributed over the Internet in order to generate homegrown terrorist acts. In any case, in the face of hate and violence, Americans will not give in to fear, Mr. Obama said. We will stand united to protect our people and defend our nation and take action against those who threaten us.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge, this one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best. Right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.